Many years have passed and everyone's getting mad?
Huh? What do you mean?
I mean, everyone's getting Monsignor Achilles Dakai. His weekly Bible study is getting bigger, better, and stronger.
This is the new and improved Gifted to Give podcast.
Hi, I'm Gian.
And I'm Jillian.
We are here to spend quality time as we listen to the message of God through our beloved Monsignor Achilles Dakai, a Bible study that is truly gifted to give and a gateway evangelization to all those who are spiritually drained.
Absolutely. Monsignor Dakai was the official spokesman of His Eminence Ricardo Cardinal Vidal. He had the title of Media Liaison. He is almost 90 years old and still passionate about preaching the Bible.
Yes, he loves to reach out to a new and younger audience in making this podcast. Truly, he is gifted to give. Let's listen to a new episode with Monsignor Achilles Dakai.
Good morning. Good morning to all of you. Wherever you may be, Bacolod, Bulacan, or Boracay. And welcome once more to our Bible study online. Thanks to your individual interest and collective initiative to put up this Bible study online every Friday. Now, today is another meatless Friday of Lent. I hope you also observe that wherever you may be. Before anything else, let's pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love, following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we find fulfillment, freedom, and the future with you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Friday, I repeat, is another Friday of Lent, another appointed day for abstinence. And at this hour, we have agreed to sit down as comfortably as we can in your corner and I in mine to study the mysteries of the Rosary. This time, the glorious mysteries of the Rosary, the resurrection, the ascension, the descent of the Holy Spirit, the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the coronation. We shall, of course, study these mysteries one at a time. The first glorious mystery, the resurrection, as you have already known, is also the last, the 14th station of the cross. Now, the Bible-based new stations of the cross. But looking forward to next Sunday, next Sunday, March 10, will be the fourth Sunday of Lent. And every fourth Sunday of Lent has been called by our Mother Church the Litare Sunday in Latin, meaning in English, rejoice Sunday. Why rejoice Sunday? Of course, because we shall be reading precisely from John and from Luke, which three Gospels will invite us precisely to study and understand why every fourth Sunday of Lent is called Rejoice Sunday. And so, before we go to that, we now like to listen to the reading of the Gospel for our Bible study online, the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 8. So now let's open our Bibles, our listen to the reading of the Gospel.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed.
Thank you. That, of course, is our reading for our study now of the mysteries, the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. But let us get back for the sake of our Sunday churchgoers about why this coming Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent, is Rejoice Sunday. The answer is right in the Gospels read and reflected on for this fourth Sunday. Let's take one from John. Jesus, who was always moved with mercy towards the miserable, he makes a blind man rejoice once miraculously he was made able to see, not only physically, but with the eyes of faith, Jesus himself, the Son of Man. This person whom Jesus made to rejoice because of the gift of sight. Jesus had been saying, "I am the light of the world." Therefore, he who sees the light is happy, should rejoice. In another Gospel according to John, another reason is given us why we should rejoice. Jesus, who he himself predicted that he would be lifted up on the cross for our salvation, he will make everybody rejoice, because once I am lifted up, he says, I will draw all to myself. I will draw, not drive, nor push, nor pull, but draw, so that on your own free will, you joyfully are drawn to Jesus. Because Jesus is not only the light, He is also the truth. He who comes to the light, he who lives the truth, is joyful. And lastly, from the book of St. Luke, where Jesus tells us the story of how happy, how joyful the father was of that prodigal son who left his father and went to a foreign country, and where he wasted his time and talent there. And when he came back to his senses after days of famine and hunger, he decided to repent. And repentance means precisely returning to the father whom he has offended by precisely leaving him for a foreign country and leaving the father alone. The father was so filled with joy when he saw the son coming back to the house. So happy was this father that he ran to meet the son. So happy, so joyful he was that he embraced him. And not only that, he kissed him. And not only that, he took him inside the house and decided to celebrate it with no less than the fattened calf for all to share and rejoice. So those are the three reasons taken from the Gospels assigned for this coming Sunday. Rejoice. Even when we now study the first glorious mystery of the Rosary, which I repeat is also the last 14th station of the new way of the cross, we shall see how the resurrection gave joy to all the disciples of Jesus then and is giving us now. Joy, therefore, as has already been explained many times in many ways, J-O-Y may only mean Jesus, only you can make us rejoice. With this mystery, glorious mystery, the first glorious mystery of the resurrection, let us see how Jesus made everybody rejoice on the day of his resurrection. Remember, he predicted this, that on the third day, I will rise again. He said this not once, but three times. When on the third day he rose from the dead, nobody saw it. No man or woman saw it. Just like when Jesus was delivered by Mary on Calvary, in Bethlehem. And now on Calvary is the same thing. No one saw that and no one saw this. How therefore have we come to believe this and rejoice? Because Jesus precisely was raised from the dead as he had said it, that the Son of Man will be made to suffer death, but on the third day will rise again. Now, there are several proofs or evidences, but some are rather negative. For example, when Mary Magdalene and the other women who were first worried about a large stone that was placed at the entrance of the tomb where Jesus was buried, but then they saw that when they were near the tomb, they saw that the large stone had been rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. But that was a very negative evidence that Jesus must have gone out. Secondly, we have oral evidence. These women found angels there sitting on a stone at the tomb, saying, "Yes, the tomb is empty because he is not here. He said he would rise again. Well, then he has risen." But that again, that audio testimony is kind of negative. He is not here. What then can be positive evidences? The prima facie evidence, of course, of the resurrection of Jesus would be his every personal appearance after his resurrection, which Saint Luke in his Acts of the Apostles has recorded, that for 40 days after his death, Jesus appeared many times in ways that would only prove that indeed he was alive. That, I say, is the prima facie evidence. But there is another visual evidence. When Mary Magdalene went running after she saw the stone rolled and the tomb empty, she went running. That could only be an expression of joy, running. She ran to report to Simon Peter and to John. And both of them came to the tomb running. They also were very joyful. They were rejoiced that this could be the third day. Running, therefore, is a sign of joy. Remember Zacchaeus, whom Jesus saw up on a sycamore tree and told him, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly. I'd like to stay at home with you today." And the rich man, Zacchaeus, ran home. Rich people, I repeat, do not usually run. But if you are overjoyed, well, this Zacchaeus, short in stature and small in size, but rich, he ran for joy and welcomed Jesus at his house. The two disciples, Peter and John, reached the tomb. Well, John first, And both of them saw, this is the visual evidence. So what was left inside the empty tomb? There was a clothing that covered the body of Jesus, the linen clothes. And there was another cloth that was used to cover the head of Jesus. And the wonderful thing that they saw was that while the linen clothes covering his body was laid on the ground, the clothing that covered the head of Jesus was separated from it. It was rolled by itself, meaning therefore that Jesus lying on the ground simply evaporated out of the clothing. He did not undress himself, no. He precisely just evaporated his glorious body, his spiritualized body came out of those clothing. But the wonderful thing was that the clothing covering his head was separated from the clothing that covered his body. In other words, Jesus just simply also was lifted up from those clothing. So there we have all the reasons to rejoice on Easter. Our Easter joy, therefore, should really last longer than just a day or a season. Every Mass should really be for us a celebration. Easter joy. Joy, Jesus, only you can make us rejoice. Like the father of the prodigal son, who was very overfilled with joy to see his son repent. There is joy in repentance, not only for the repentant, but also for everyone else concerned. This problem was also solved when Jesus said, "When I am lifted up on the cross, I shall make everybody rejoice." The centurion who witnessed, who was the eye and ear witness to the crucifixion, at the end of it, he said, "This man is truly the Son of God." He was so filled with joy that he confessed that what he had seen and heard was indeed true. When therefore Jesus made the blind men, there were many blind men that he gave back their sights. When he made them rejoice, that is his way of telling us that indeed, whenever we, with our eyes of faith, see Jesus the light, "I am the light of the world," and see him as the truth, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," we should be joyful. We should rejoice by seeing the light and seeing the truth. "I am the light of the world, and I dispel therefore darkness. In darkness there is sadness." Remember the saying, temptations are like photographs. They are developed in the dark. and in the dark, that's where you are sad. So get out of the dark, see the light, and rejoice. The same with error. When you are in error, you are actually saddened. If you want to enjoy, seek and tell the truth. The truth will set you free from force, from fraud, and from force, fraud, and fear. That means you really rejoice whenever you are in the truth. He said that to Pilate, that whoever belongs to the truth listens to me, because he is not only the way, not only the life, he is the truth. So here we have all the reasons why this fourth Sunday of Lent, amid the sorrows that we are supposed to experience and express through the sorrowful mysteries, we can rejoice. We can sing the amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wreck like me. For once I was lost, and now I am found. Was blind, and now I see. So let us rejoice, let us sing this amazing grace all the time. And at every Mass, because Mass is a celebration, when Mass is ended, when we are dismissed with "go forth, the Mass is ended," we should really go forth back home, back to work, Monday to Saturday, with that joy of having seen Jesus with the eyes of faith, having heard and trying to keep his word. For whoever believes, whoever hears my word and keeps it, remains in me and I in him. And more so when we eat his body and drink his blood. For he has said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him." So nothing better than Jesus remaining in us, than Jesus living in us and we in him, if we want to rejoice. Joy, I repeat, is peace of mind. Joy is not only a feeling of the heart, it is a clear conscience. And they say that when you go to bed, no better pillow than a clear conscience, because then you go to bed with joy. So here I'd like to pause for your questions and reflections.
morning, Mons.
Good morning.
Salamat for highlighting that Jesus draws us into Him and not pull. Ma-attract jud ko og people na happy and joyful. That is why di ay ma-attract sad ko to be closer with Jesus.
That's right. That's why the Gospels for Cycle A, Cycle B, or Cycle C arranged and assigned for this Sunday, you should try to reflect on them, because each of the three Gospels can drive you a point where you can rejoice. I repeat, we have all the reasons to rejoice, not just on this Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, not just during the whole season of Easter, but throughout the year, at every Mass that we attend, we go forth back home, back to work, overjoyed, energized, more eager to precisely live the Christian life.
I like how you highlighted the visual evidence Jesus made very clear during the 40 days that He has indeed risen and that we can rejoice forever. How glorious and wonderful is our God that He made this known to us sinners who continually doubt. Praise God.
John, the apostle, the evangelist, John, the brother of James, the son of Zebedee, was most joyful when he entered the empty tomb and saw the two clothes, the clothing that covered his body and the clothing that covered his head. He saw it and believed. That's more important. It was not enough for them to see visual evidence, but more that they became faithful believers in Jesus.
Mons, excited naku for Easter, but I'm still enjoying this quiet journey of Lent. Thank you, Mons, for focusing our Bible study on the sorrowful mystery, and I'm excited to go deeper in the glorious mystery.
Rejoice. Be joyful. Actually, if you remember last Sunday in my reflection, I quoted the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which says, I realize that all we can do is be happy. We can do the best we can while we are still alive. Therefore, all of us should eat and drink and enjoy what we have worked for. That is God's gift. That is how we can really pass the day with joy, the peace of mind, and a clear conscience, which you cannot keep to yourself. Like smoke, they say, the joy of Easter cannot be grasped within your hands. It simply goes out and is shared with others. Easter joy is not just an Easter egg, as they say.
a peaceful and blessed day, Monsignor. Just to clarify and connect what you discussed last time, the 40 days used here in our gospel means a long period of time and not necessarily actual 40 days. Thank you for enlightening us.
The resurrection, we call it Easter because the sun rises from the east. And Jesus, therefore, when he rose, as if he rose from the east. That's why the resurrection day is also called Easter day, because the sun rises from the east and Jesus rises also from the dead. So I hope this meatless Friday of Lent can also make you rejoice in spite of the obligation to abstain from meat. Let's rejoice when we obey our Mother Church, commanding us to do this and to do that because it profits for our salvation. It is our duty and our salvation.
Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
Nag-struggle ko o rejoice since next week na akong mga midterms, but will use Jesus as an example to remain prayerful and joyful amidst crisis.
Actually, I always make the distinction between happy and joyful. Happiness is very temporary, while joy is more lasting. In Cebuano, happiness is kasadya. Joy is kalipay. You are happy, nasadya ka for something that's happening. If there is an occasion, a celebration, kasadya ning taknaa because of the pinaskuhan. But joy to the world was what was sung by the angels for no other reason than just Jesus is born. So, any event that can make us joyful, that joy may last longer. Whereas any happening for just a short moment can make you happy. So happiness is kasadya, joy is kalipay. Joy to the world and happy new year. We pause for the final blessing. The Lord be with you. May the Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So see you again next Friday before Holy Week.
That was an amazing Bible study session. You think so, Jill?
Yes, Monsignor Dakai is truly remarkable. I have learned a lot from his reflections.
Can you share your learnings and takeaways?
In John 20 verses 1 to 8, we saw the resurrection of Jesus. There are two main takeaways from today's reflection. Firstly, Jesus is a joyful God who draws us into Him and does not pull. Just like we are drawn to those who radiate joy, this is how we should see Jesus. Secondly, there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a temporary feeling, while joy is long-lasting. Thus, in this season, let us pray for the grace to be a joy to those around us.
That is true, Jillian. Let us all be joyful. Let us all stay positive and feel the goodness of the Lord every day. That is our calling as Christians. Jesus' life as a whole was pure joy despite with all the negativities and all the persecution that he experienced. He never complained, but he continued to pray and reflect and allowed God to console and comfort him. I would like to thank Monsignor Achilles Dacay for another wonderful episode of the Gifted to Give podcast. I would like to thank my new partner, Jillian, for sharing your reflections and learnings.
Of course! I am so excited to be part of this rebranding of the podcast. I will definitely see you next week for another episode of Gifted to Give podcast.
With Monsignor Achilles Dacay, goodbye and to God be the glory.